Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
And 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome in, everybody. It's starting to clear up. Looks like a good day if you're going to the track or you're going to the first tee or you're fishing. Could be fishing this morning.
Fishing, yeah. I was listening to Diener earlier, and they were talking about the smallmouth were running. I'm not much of a fisher. I don't know. I went fishing. Sherry's dad was a huge fisherman. Every chance he got, he was at Harrington Lake with a line in the water. And so when I decided I was going to ask him if I could marry Sherry, I decided I'd get him in a good mood and take him fishing. And so we went to Harrington Lake, and he fished all night. He hung a lantern on the side of the boat. We were down there on a Friday. It was either Friday. It had to be a Friday night. And stayed out all night, and I was chicken to ask him. And we stayed out all night. We get in the car. We're headed back to Lexington. The sun's coming up, and we're about two blocks away. And I said, Virgil, I'd like to ask your permission to marry Sherry. He said, I think that'd be just fine. And I never went fishing again. that was the last time.
Bait and switch. Bait and switch.
But, you know, Mike, I used to think that fishing was just the luck. I mean, you threw your bait out there, and if a fish came by and bit your hook, you caught it. And if he didn't, you didn't. But I have been down there with him fishing, and he'd be in the back of the boat, I'd be in the front of the boat, and I wouldn't get a bite all night long, and he'd catch 8 or 10 fish. So there is some real skill to fishing. It's just not blind luck.
Well, my daughter's oldest, my grandson, the oldest grandson, he is a junior in high school down in Charlotte, and he loves to fish, man. He's got buddies that fish, and I mean, he just loves it. So he was much younger. It's been, you know, he was like 10 years old or something. And I had a friend, the late Bud Olson, and I had a friend that had a couple ponds up in Shelby County, and actually near close to Baghdad.
Okay.
He had a big farm up there. And
Of Billy Busey.
That's right. And so we'd go up there and fish. So one day I took Craig Schutte, you know, my brother by another mother from Dayton, him, my grandson, and somebody else. There were four of us went up there, and we were fishing. And I think I might have got one or two. Schutte might have gotten one. The other, whoever the fourth was, you know, maybe one. This little rascal comes up. He's got a sack full of fish, man. He's been working that pond, and he was like 10. He's got a sack. And I've got a picture of it where he comes up and holding those fish.
No, there's definitely some skill involved, no question about that.
I send him sometimes for his birthday or for Christmas, I'll send him either a gift certificate to a fishing outlet down there, or I'll find some lures and send them to him. And but I like to fish. I have
that's unusual for little guys. Little guys usually don't have the patience that it takes to be a fisherman.
Yeah. Well, he really likes it. You know, he's like
plus he's too young to drink beer while he fishes. So
well, that we hope that's the case.
that's the old line. Who's the country comedian? He said that you might be a redneck.
Yeah. 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 A guy out of Atlanta. I know who you're talking about.
That's one of if you've ever been too drunk to fish, you might be a redneck.
Well, he likes to fish, and he runs cross country and plays lacrosse. But now he's decided. He's 6'1", about 145. He's skinny, right? But he's got broad shoulders. So he's decided that he needs to pick up weight and get stronger for lacrosse next fall or whenever the season restarts. So he's wrestling. I said, G-Man, what are you doing? A wrestler, you know, and he goes, Grandpa, I gotta get stronger. I gotta lift. I gotta do things. I said, but you can do that without wrestling. I mean, come on now. You know, jeez. Well, I'm going up tonight to watch the Wildcat baseball team, Nick Mangione's team, against the Florida Gators, opening game of a 3-game set.
And this is a big, big series for the Wildcats.
It is. And, you know, they're headed down the stretch now. They obviously want to make Hoover for the playoffs. But, you know, if they can get a couple wins, if they could, you know, pick up a couple wins along the way, they've got to Florida, South Carolina, Vandy, I think, are the last three. Maybe there's another one in there. But if they could pick up a couple wins where people don't think they can, you know, they're setting themselves up to go to the NCAA.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants, and to get to Hoover and then get to the NCAA. So we'll see. But I'm looking forward to great. You've been to the baseball stadium. Beautiful.
Oh, it is. Stadium. Yeah. All of the facilities, you know, yesterday we were talking about the facilities down there, and Mitch has done. And to be honest with you, I think it was from pressure from U of L. Because U of L's facilities, I mean, you drive down 65 and you see the softball field and the baseball field and the football field. And, you know, U of L really was the first one to really start upgrading their facilities. And to be competitive in the SEC, they realized at Lexington, that you had to have those kind of facilities. And Vince told us that, you know, they finally upgraded the football facilities.
About $150 million or something like that worth of upgrades.
To be competitive with the US. But the baseball field is gorgeous down there. And so, Lexington, UK has really upgraded their facilities. And I think it was a little push from U of L that got them to do it.
Could have been. That baseball, I took a tour with Coach Madison, Keith Madison, who really got the baseball program started and running. You know, Vince Tyre played for him, and they went to the regional finals to go to the World Series and got beat. Keith is really a good guy, and he's got a little – they've honored him in front of the stadium or on the side of the stadium, but he took me a tour. And did you get the tour down where they've got the batting cages underground?
No, I didn't see. I didn't see that.
Oh, man, they can go down there. The locker room, it might not be under, but it might be just in the back of the stadium. Mm-hmm. They've got batting cages undercover, and they can heat them in the winter. Those guys can go in there and hit.
All year long.
Yeah. I mean, how cool is that?
No, it's a beautiful facility. Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah, that's him. It came to you, didn't it?
Yeah, no, it's all up there. It just, sometimes it takes a while for it to get out, but it's all up there.
Well, later on we're going to have Cedric Kaufman, the head tennis coach at UK. His team is poised to play in the first round of the NCAA on Friday, and he played for our good friend Dennis Emery, and was a big-time player, and has coached there for 17 years. So we'll hear what he has to say about the men's tennis, and did you know the women are also in the NCAA?
I did.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, no, it's terrific. And another no-hitter yesterday, Baltimore Orioles, John Means throws a no-hitter. That is, in my mind, that's the fourth no-hitter. We predicted that there's going to be a lot of no-hitters this year in Major League Baseball. In my mind, that's the fourth no-hitter. Now, Bumgarner didn't get credit for a no-hitter, which I think is stupid because the game ended after seven innings, and it didn't because it was part of a doubleheader. And it doesn't count because it wasn't nine innings. But the game didn't end, Mike, because of weather or because of a curfew. The game ended because Major League Baseball said that's the end of the game. There's seven innings.
Weren't they playing a doubleheader?
Yeah.
Yeah, day-night doubleheader.
See,
yeah.
That's the other thing. So I give Bumgarner credit. I think
now, he's the guy who was throwing the ball in the dirt, though.
No. That's the guy from Arizona threw the seven-inning. Used to be with the Giants. Threw the seven-inning.
The kid from North Carolina.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The guy who gave his wife on their wedding for a wedding present a heifer. You gotta like a guy that gives his wife a calf for a wedding present.
He's an old country boy from around Asheville. North Carolina, and he was throwing a bunch of dirt balls the other day.
Well, wow. he has the seven, but I'm counting that as four no hitters, and I still think you're gonna. But what a performance! Now there have been help me here, 23 perfect games, and how many no hitters?
308 including 300, last night.
308 no hitters.
Means
in Major League
it last
baseball.
Night.
Yeah, exactly. But only 23 perfect games, and he missed a perfect game. It was a wild pitch. It was scored a wild pitch, but, of course, you call it a drop third strike. That's the first time in Major League history that a pitcher has lost a perfect game with a drop third strike. Now, they've lost it. They've lost them, you know, with walks and errors and hit batsmen. That's the first game. But what a performance this guy put on. I mean, it should have been a perfect game. 26, and then the guy that reached first base got thrown out trying to steal. So he only faced the minimum of 27 batters. But listen to this stat, Mike. 26 out of the 27 batters, first pitch strike. I mean, that's
that was a record, too. That was the record.
Yeah. That's when you know you've really got it going on. But, I don't know why pitching has become so dominant. There's a lot of different theories. When we had Pat Kelly on, the manager of the Bats, on Monday, he said he thought that all of this metrics and all of these, you know, brainiacs that sit in the front office in front of a computer, he said he thought that benefited the pitchers a lot more than it benefited the hitters. And I think he's right. I think that all of that information is helping, but Major League Baseball has to do something to get more offense. Your team, the Reds, yesterday in Great America Ballpark,
which is the home run derby park,
it's unbelievable. Yeah. At the end of nine innings, it was 0-0, the White Sox and the Reds. That was only the fourth time in the history of Great America Ballpark that a game had ended 0-0 after nine innings. Now, if you can't score a run in Great America Ballpark, something's going on. They've got to do something to get more offense in this game.
Yeah, they've you've blamed the ball a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Different ball issues, blah, blah, blah. Seams are different. And then they talk about the bats. People have corked the bat. People this and that about the bat. You know, really, the swing angle, the launch angle, and the emphasis on the home run.
Exit velocity.
I think, yeah, they were talking. A guy hit a ground ball to third base, and it had an exit velocity velocity of about 45 or something. I'm listening to it. I'm going like, what? It's a slow roller to third, right? But to your point, in this no-hitter, they hit some deep balls. They had some shots of Baltimore's outfielders having to go back and make some catches.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was Sandy Koufax and firing strikeouts.
Right.
But he kept it in the park, and it was pretty cool. But the metrics, I'm not 100% sold, although I like to read all the numbers about in basketball and football. I like all those percentages. I don't know if I would coach by them. And that's what they're doing. They're managing their coaching.
Absolutely.
With this stuff. But I enjoy, because if they say that you, Dennis, can score 85 times at the low block left side with your back to the basket, but you can't do it at the other side because you can't turn that way, yada, yada, and they give me a percentage. Well, if I'm watching the game, I'm going to think the minute you go to that block where they said you're 85%, I'm going to think about what am I going to say about that shot, you know? And the other side, I'm getting ready to say, shouldn't have taken that shot. Should have gone to the other side, right?
The other thing, while I'm crushing in the Major League Baseball, why do we still have, when they're day-night doubleheaders, why do we still have seven-inning games? And the other thing is, when it goes to extra innings, are we doing that stupid thing with putting a runner at second base? Did you see Tony La Russa yesterday put his relief pitcher at second base and said, well, I didn't know that I didn't have to do that. His spot made the last out. Of course, Tony La Russa is our age, and, you know, it's all up there, but it takes a while to come out. But we're back to normal. We're not back to normal in the stands. I get that. I mean, you can only have 20%, or we're back to normal in Texas. I guess that's the only place we're back to normal. But we're back to normal on the field. So why aren't the doubleheaders nine innings? And I mean, the Cubs swept the Dodgers last night with that starting a man at second base. So, why are we still doing that when on the field, maybe not off the field, but on the field, we're back to normal? I don't get that either.
Well, as we were talking about a different subject prior to coming on today, it's all about the daggone television. Somehow, some way, that's what they want, and that's what they're gearing it to,
yeah,
I think.
I suppose.
Yeah, but I agree. Why not two nines? Why not let them go in and get a hot dog and a coffee and a cigarette, whatever they want, in the clubhouse, back out and play, hour later?
No, I got that. I got that last year when they were playing consecutive games. But the Cubs and the Dodgers on Tuesday, they played a doubleheader, and there were like 4 hours in between the two games. And so why do those have to be seven? And I don't get it. They didn't ask me, but I don't get it.
Let me ask you this, because I haven't paid attention to this. Your first game is seven innings, and then you come back 4 hours later. Do they run the fans out? I guess they do, and resell a ticket, huh?
Well, I suppose so, because I'm guessing that the tickets for Monday night that was rained out, I'm guessing those tickets were good for the afternoon game, and then the regularly scheduled game. But see, there again, those people bought tickets for Monday night expecting a nine-inning game.
They get a seven.
And they have to come in the afternoon the next day, and they only get seven.
Fans are great, though. Fans will be fans. And speaking of that, you and Sherry are here, and you've got extended family in Denver, right? And they're all Cat fans, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I saw a picture online where there was a Cat fan. His name was not ending with Issel, that went and got Quickley's autograph in Denver before the game. How about that? They're everywhere, and it wasn't an Issel. They're everywhere, those Cat fans, man. And, of course, he signed them. He's a good kid. But, we got a couple birthdays we've got to talk about here. First of all, Willie Mays.
Yep.
90 years old.
Isn't
Can
that
you
great?
Believe it? That is
Isn't
terrific.
That
Remember,
Say Hey Kid.
Back in the day, it was Mantle and Mays and Duke Snyder for a while. He was in there. Those were the guys.
Yep.
And, boy, that was a discussion. Who do you like better? Who's the better player when you were a kid collecting those cards? And you worked the card scene back then, and you go like, yeah, I got a Mantle. He's better. Or I got a Willie Mays. And I marvel at that catch, and they had it on this morning. I marvel at that back-to-home plate catch.
I think it's the greatest catch in the history of baseball. I mean, he's running dead sprint to the center field wall and catches it back over his head. It was phenomenal. What a great player he was, and
fun to watch. He had a style about him.
Yeah,
he had a style about him when he was on the bases or in the outfield. He was joking this morning, Dan, and they were asking him about different plays in baseball, and they said, well, Willie had something to do with hitting the cutoff man. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Willie said, we never had cutoff man. He said, why? He said, I could get it there. I didn't need a cutoff, man. I loved it. He said, I didn't need a cutoff, man. And, of course, if you're managing, you don't tell Willie Mays to hit the cutoff, man. If he can throw smoke to second base, let him throw
it, right there.
Yeah.
And they had some really good teams there with Juan Marichal on the mound and Willie McCovey at first base. I went to a Cub game one time when they were playing the Giants, and I don't remember what Willie Mays did, but I do remember that Willie McCovey hit a ball about 900 feet that day. Boy, they could hit. They could hit.
Yeah, and they had a guy, I was in a golf tournament many years ago down in North Carolina, and this guy was there. Blasingame. He was a second baseman or shortstop.
Yeah, I remember that name.
Yeah. He played with a lot of teams, but he was a very nice guy, but played there. I don't know if he's still alive, was telling some baseball stories.
Was Orlando Cepeda on those teams,
yeah,
too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. No, they were loaded, man.
Yeah.
There weren't as many teams. There weren't as many jobs. So, guys lasted longer. The minor leagues were chock full of players, and they couldn't get up to the bigs because there was a limited roster and limited teams. You know, they always tell the story about this guy and that guy who played in the minor leagues and hit home runs, hit batting average, pitcher, whatever, and couldn't get to the bigs.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people ahead.
Yeah, not enough spots. Yeah. Can you imagine before the Dodgers moved to L.A. and the Giants moved to San Francisco? There was a time when those three teams were all in New York City. The Yankees in Yonkers. The Dodgers, I think, were in Brooklyn, and the Giants were in the Bronx or someplace.
The Yankees were in Bronx.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah
the Bronx Bombers.
Yeah,
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Speaking of the Yankees, man, they are on a roll. Giancarlo Stanton was on fire last night, man.
Speaking of somebody who hits the baseball a long, long way.
Ooh. I remember when he came up with the Marlins, and mm-hmm. You go like you're watching him as a young player, and you say this guy, where'd he come from? He's chiseled. He's got a quick bat. Yeah, they're on a pretty good roll. The other birthday we'll have to talk about is Dr. Lee Todd, former president of the University of Kentucky, 75. And here's our connection. Do you know our connection with Lee Todd?
I don't.
Oh man, I got you. Finally got you. After all the turnovers I made yesterday, I finally got you. Man, I mean, I'm loving me some Issel today. He went to high school with Gary Gamble, one of our former teammates.
Really?
Yeah. And he was in school when we were in school. He was a couple years ahead. But, yeah, they went to school together. He was scorekeeper. He told me the story about this.
And where – and help me.
Down in Western Kentucky. I can't remember where they're from.
Were they – was it from Hoptown?
No, that's Tommy Porter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, he knew Gary and knew him for, coming up all through grade school and high school. And he always used to talk. He kept score. And he really, really a nice guy. And it's his 75th birthday.
And he's retired now.
He is retired. He and Patsy, his wife, are living the life of luxury there in Lexington. I don't know about luxury, but relaxing life.
He was an educator. It can't be too much luxury.
But we wish him a happy birthday, happy 75th.
That's great.
Yeah. And, I got to find Gary. I saw Gary a couple years ago down at our reunion.
Right.
And I saw him. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And every now and then he'll show up at a ball game and come down and say hello. But his nickname was Hopper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our sophomore year, I'm room with him. They didn't want you and I or Casey to stay in the same room for fear of something happening.
You think they were more afraid of the seniors influencing the sophomores or the other way around?
I think it might have been the other way around because Hopper, he kept me, he would talk me to sleep at night. He was funny. He was, like we talked earlier, there was nothing on TV. Of course, you stayed up for Johnny Carson. And Hopper, he would keep me awake to a certain point, and I just nod off on him, Oh, great.
Speaking of that, do you remember we couldn't go out when we were at UK. We couldn't go out in Lexington because if we went someplace or had a beer or something, the people couldn't wait to call Coach Rupp and tell on us. I remember one time when we were freshmen, Case and his folks and my mom and dad and I went out, and my dad and Dutch ordered a pitcher of beer. And so they were – and the next day, Case and I get called into Coach Rupp's office. and says, I heard you guys were drinking the other night. We said, no, Coach. It wasn't us. That was my dad and Casey's dad. We knew better than that. We weren't drinking any beer. So there was a place in Versailles. It was called Wilson's Pool Hall. And you and Case and I would go down there occasionally. They had great chili, and we could go in there. Nobody would bother us, and we could have a beer, and nobody would call Coach up. I drove through downtown Versailles the other day, and I don't know if it's still open. It didn't look like it was open, but Wilson Pool Hall is still on the outside of the building. So
I remember going to Versailles. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Next time you go downtown Versailles, look for Wilson's Pool Hall. That was our getaway spot.
Well, I'll have to say, the portal is open.
Oh, no.
The transfer portal is open.
It took 25 minutes. It took 25 minutes, but we got to the portal.
Ring the bell, brother. Ring the bell.
Where is the bell? I don't know.
I'm not back there.
Ding.
Okay, there you go, Process. Thank you, buddy.
That's what we think of the transfer portal. Ding. There you go.
Kentucky picked up a kid from Northern Kentucky, Frederick.
Yeah,
and did you catch the release on him? I didn't remember him. I remember Covington Catholic winning the state championship, but right. I didn't remember. He put on a show up there.
I think I read he scored 32 points in the championship game and was the MVP of the Sweet 16 that year.
Yeah, and his dad, someone I researched this a little bit, his dad played for Notre Dame, okay? And I do remember him after I did my research. And, of course, the assistant on that Notre Dame team, McCaffrey, was the assistant at Notre Dame under Mike Bray. He was the Iowa coach.
That's the connection.
Yeah, that's the connection.
I got it.
So, given all that, I just wonder what possessed him to come home because, you know, he was a real contributor.
He was. And the interesting thing that I read, Mike, is that Coach McCaffrey said that CJ was playing hurt most of last year. He had an operation on his foot before the season began, but he was playing most of the year with plantar fasciitis.
Ooh, that's painful.
Oh, it's awful. And so, you know, his numbers dipped a little bit this past season from his freshman year, but that's what he, coach of Iowa, blamed it on was that he wasn't completely healthy. I got a kick out of Coach Cal's statement. He said, not only can he shoot, everybody knows he can shoot. He said, but he really takes care of the basketball. His assist to turnover ratio is excellent. And after watching last year's team, I'm guessing Cal could really use a guy whose assist to turnover ratio is excellent.
Yeah, we were Tom Leach and I were talking about that, and we've talked about it. You know, we were a 14, 15, 16 turnovers a game.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you don't shoot it well, and they didn't shoot well, that's a bad mix, man. That's a toxic
mix.
Well,
and the bad thing, Mike, was it seemed like those turnovers always came at very important times in the game when, you know, they could, if they scored a bucket, you know, they might be able to close the game out. And it seemed like every turnover was at a crucial point in the game.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're exactly right. And it looks like things are turning upward from last year. I mean, they do need a point guard, a guy who can get to the paint consistently.
Is this kid that they're recruiting, and I think they're on his last, four or five, Ty Washington, is that kid a point guard or is he
yes,
is
I think
he a
he is.
Two?
No, I think he is.
Yeah,
I think he is.
Because I saw that they had the final rankings of the high school players, which you and I know doesn't mean anything, but it's
right.
But it's nice. And that kid was climbing up the board in the last rankings. I think he's up into the 30s now.
But they say Arizona's the leader. Kentucky's in second place. Now, that's just hearsay.
Sure.
The kid is going to make an announcement, I think, next week or sometime next week. So, and I think he's going to get an experienced guy, transfer guy. And before we take a break, I have to say one more thing.
Okay.
As the czar, there's another player in the portal that Kentucky is interested in or has reached out to, or supposedly.
Okay, and who is that?
He's from Arizona State. He's 6'8 forward, and I'm trying to pull his name up. We don't really care about his name at this point in time. I know he's in the portal, man.
Well,
I know he's
know,
in the portal.
I think with the two freshmen we have coming in, if Jackson stays, I think Kentucky will be in pretty good shape across the front line. And it looks like we've got some shooters now with C.J. Frederick, and Dante Allen will come back, and Kellen Grady, that the transfer from Davidson. It still looks like that spot that they need to get over the hump is at point guard.
And we're going to take a break here. Process is waving us. But last year, some part of the Big Blue Nation bitched and moaned about not hitting the three. So next year, let's just go forward and say possibly they'll be shooting threes like they're raining down, and then everybody's going to bitch and moan about too many threes, right? All right, this is Sports Talk with Dan Issel, Mike Pratt, ESPN Louisville, 680 1057.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
What in the world is that?
It's Eagles. It's Desperado.
Yeah.
You want to play Eagles, so we play Eagles, man.
I'm the Eagles guy.
I'd go with harder, you know, some prog rock, but that's just me. I'm sorry. I just like prog rock.
Well, Desperado.
I
the
know
Eagles
Desperado,
weren't the,
but
they weren't the only one to sing it.
No.
Who was that?
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers. Get that Kenny Rogers version.
You want the cat? Okay, we'll bump back. We'll do it the next time.
Okay. All right. Welcome back, Sports Talk, everybody, with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. And we were talking when we left, we were talking about UK and the basketball, but UK is also in the tennis tournament, Michael.
The NCAA first round, and we have Coach Cedric Kaufman, the head coach of those tennis Wildcats. Coach Cedric, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Dan and Mike, how are you? Thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Now, before we talk about the season and about your team, we know you played for Dennis Emery at UK. Now, do you have any dirt on Dennis that you can share with us?
I have a lot of dirt, but I don't know if I should give it to all the world in Kentucky. But he's a legend within his legend. I love him to death. I think he's been wonderful for me as a person, and he was a wonderful coach, and I love him very much. But I can tell you there's a lot of stories on him by a lot of the players that he traveled with, and I'll just stop there because they're pretty bad.
Now tell us about, obviously he recruited you to UK. Tell us about the recruiting process.
Yes. So in the 80s and 90s, he had a big he has a very good friend at an academy called Nick Bollettieri, which is called IMG Sports Academy now. And I trained there in high school. And he recruited Marcus Fluitt, who was my teammate. First, Marcus was a top 10 junior in the U.S. And I was training there. And I think some of the coaches told him to watch me a little bit. And I didn't have a lot of offers since I didn't play a lot of tournaments in the U.S. But he gave me enough scholarship, and I visited Lexington. I just love Lexington and the campus. I just thought people were very nice, and I just, you know, committed there. I was, and that was probably one of the best decisions I've made.
Well, Cedric, a lot of people don't know this, but Dan and I have done our homework. You're from France, correct?
Yeah, I'm from France. My family's still there. I'm the only one here in the U.S. Yes.
Did you come to the U.S. just to go to Valetari's?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, when
okay.
When I was 13, I just wanted to play professional sports, and the education in France was pretty hard. We studied till like 5 or 6 at night, and the U.S. was able to kind of go to school in the morning at Volunteers and just train in the afternoon. I just loved the system. It was just kind of very, very hard work, and that's what I loved. So I stayed there for 5 years before going to college.
You were at IMG for 5 years, Cedric?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 5 years.
Wow. And during that time, I think you made a great statement that you had to go to school at to 6 or 7 o'clock at night in France, but they only let you go half a day at IMG.
Yeah.
I think I would take that one too, huh?
Oh, yeah. Now, I'll tell you, they have it even easier now. They have online. I don't know how many student-athletes in tennis in high school are taking online classes, but it was, for me, it was perfect. I love playing tennis all day long, so it was perfect.
All right, let's get into your team this year and the opening of the NCAA right there in Lexington on the campus of UK. And you're playing Cleveland State in the first round tomorrow.
Yes.
Now, you've played them recently in the NCAA, correct?
Yeah, so we've played. It's kind of a regional. The first round is usually a regional round, meaning they're going to bring a team that won their conference. Brian over there at Cleveland State has done a great job. He's won the conference. I think four the last 5 years or something like that. And usually he will be sent to Ohio State or us, you know, if we're hosting. So I kind of know the team, and they're a tough bunch of guys. We'll have a tough time, and we'll have to prepare for that.
But I believe, Cedric, you have the number one ranked player in the whole country, correct?
Yes. We have Liam Draxel, who's a sophomore, who's had an unbelievable year, yes. So we lean on him quite a bit. I think he's 19-2 on the season, and in doubles also he has a high percentage of winning. But I think behind him we have quite a bit. Our 2, 3, 4, and 5 are all ranked in the top 100 of the NCAA. So we have a pretty good deep team also.
Now, where did Liam come from? Where did you recruit him from?
So Liam was also training in Florida at an academy called Sarabrook. A lot of the players from all over to train in Florida, Texas, or, you know, in the Southern Belt or California. So he was training down in Florida. He's originally from Toronto. My assistant kind of knew his family and him, and so we got the in on him. He was recruited by the best programs in the country, but decided to come to Kentucky and had a tough freshman year, you know, with COVID stopping in March last year. He had also mono the whole year, so he had a really difficult year, which I think kind of helped him to have a very, very good year the second. So he had nothing to lose and is playing with no fear.
Cedric, now we have seen an influx of basketball players from Canada, really good players, of course, Jamal Murray, and, you know, a lot of basketball players have started coming across. This young fella is from Toronto, did you say?
Yeah, he's from Toronto.
Okay.
Yes.
Are we going to see more of a flow of tennis players out of Canada?
I mean, I think the last couple of years, the best players, I mean, like I said, in the U.S. or in the world, know that the best players, 18 to 22, are going to college. Our sport has become older, and what I mean by this is the top 100 in the world are averaging 28, 29 years old. So it is tougher as a young, we'll say young adult, mentally and physically. You know, boys, you know, kind of grow a little later. So they're going to play their best tennis, like I said, 26, 27, 28. So they decide, you know what, I need maybe an insurance card, get a good education at the same time, and keep getting better. So the players that are coming in college, like I said, Liam, coming in college, was the 10th best tennis player, 18-year-old in the whole world. So
wow.
He could have turned pro, but he just said, you know, I'm not. I think he knew, and that's why he's so good. He goes, I'm not ready. I'm just not good enough to start the professional career full time. So he just, you know, those players are deciding. A lot of them are deciding to come to college.
Wow, that's amazing, because I can remember it wasn't that long ago when you had people on the professional tour that were 16, 17, 18 years old.
That's right. Yeah, in the 80s, 90s, you could have, you know, the Michael Changs or, you know, the Agassiz were coming out pretty early. That still happens in the girls, but less in the boys. It's very difficult. You'll still have one or two or three that trickle into the top 100 that are very special, just God-given talents, you know what I mean? The rest of them have to work a little longer.
Do you attribute that, Cedric, to the to the training and just getting, you know, bigger and stronger and being able to play later?
Yeah, for sure. I think, like I said, like, it was the physical, but mostly I think it is the mental.
Okay.
I think mentally they're just a little, they need just, I will say, I don't know if it's immature, but I think, you know, the 26, 27 can handle matches a little bit better than an 18-year-old. You know, I think it's, I mean, I think it's the same in the NBA, you know, or something like that. When an 18 or 19, we'll say after a year, goes to the NBA, it's not easy. I think it's just a different atmosphere. They're playing bigger bodies, just more mature, and mentally they're a little bit more sharp.
Now, Cedric, you mentioned you went to IMG Academy. Bola Terry was the driving force behind that. After Kentucky, didn't you play a little bit on the pro tour?
Yeah, I played about 6 years. I would say I was in between between AAA and majors. You know, kind of I played the French Open. I played the U.S. Open. I played some big tournaments. I stayed about 6 years on the tour.
And when you were at IMG, did anybody pass through there that you got to know or play against that we might know their name?
I don't know if you know. I mean, when I was there, when I arrived at IMG, Agassi, Sampras, Courier were training there. That's why a lot of the people that came during those years to IMG, they trained there and they're from there. So those people came out of the Bola Terry Academy. After that, my age, I don't know if you guys know, the most famous out of my age that came out was Tommy Haas. I don't know if you guys know him, but he was number two in the world.
Wow.
Well, we were talking earlier, Cedric, about the facilities at UK, the football practice facility, the baseball field. I guess this is Emory's fault, but it sounds like the tennis center is going to be the last one that's renovated. But I know Dennis is raising money to do that. Where are we as far as the new tennis facility at UK?
Yeah, so Coach Emery, like I said, is working really hard to help us kind of speed along our next facility. I think we have the plans. I think we have the lot to do it in. Now I think COVID slowed it down a little bit, which is normal. But we're excited. I think Mitch is doing as much as he can also to help us out. He knows that. It just has to be the right time. I think there's other projects that need to be done. I think they want to work also on Memorial. You know, I mean, Memorial needs to revamp a little bit to help our wonderful volleyball team that deserves it too. The national champions, you know, and gymnastic. And I think track needs an indoor. So we just have to get fans back and, you know, in on the seats and try to raise some money. But Coach Emery has done a good job.
Well, all you have to do is win the NCAA championship like the volleyball team did. And then then the focus will be on you.
That's right. I just got to win 6 rounds. So I'll try to start with the first one on Friday.
There you go.
We're going to get right into here in a second, this tournament on Friday and Saturday. But I have to ask you, all this success Coach Emery had, okay, and all this success Coach Rupp had back in the day, when Joe B. took over, some people thought that Adolph was always looking over Joe B.'s shoulder, and it may have bothered Joe B. Do you feel that way about Coach Emery? Is he always calling you up and saying, hey, what are you doing, Cedric?
No, I always felt my standards, like I said, are pretty high, and I truly do it day to day. I never feel like, you know, after, let's say, a year that's medium, you know, I look back, like, oh, Coach Emery did better than me. You know, I'm very proud of Coach Emery, and I think he also wants me to do well and then be proud of me. He's always, you know, he is proud of me. I think he said it, but I don't think we measure, you know, each other's career. We just kind of, I do it year to year, and we'll see what happens, you know.
Well, I was just joking. We think the world of Coach Emery. He's a special guy. So give us a little thumbnail sketch of you play Cleveland State, and the other side is?
Michigan and Arizona.
Okay.
Michigan and Arizona are the two toughest teams, I'd say, outside the top 16 that are hosting. So that's going to be a battle. It's a 50-50 match. Two very good programs, and then we will play Cleveland State on I think Michigan, Arizona play at 10 a.m. on Friday, and we will play following that match at 1 o'clock against Cleveland State. And the two winners will play Saturday at 1 o'clock.
It's the best of what? How do you win that?
So we start with three doubles, three matches in doubles. Whoever wins two out of those three grab 1 point. And it's a very important point. And then we will play six singles. And it's the first to, each single is worth one, and it's the first to four. So the doubles is a big deal because if you split the singles, you know, the doubles one will decide it. And it's very tough against a good team to win four singles. So the doubles go first, and we'll play the singles following that.
Now, what about attendance? Are you limited? Is it open? Can people buy tickets?
It was limited, but they're starting to open it up. We can accept about 1,000 fans outside and about 500 fans inside. So I welcome all the BBN to come out. They've been wonderful through the season. You know, our team is undefeated at home. We haven't lost. Our fans are loyal, and they're actually very good. They make a big impact. And I think it's one of the sports they could really get close to the student athletes. I think they're within, I don't know if I can say they're within 6 feet, but they're very close. And they can make noise, and they can affect actually the matches. So we welcome all the fans.
Well, Cedric, we're going to be pulling for you and watching for the results. And as you make your run, as the volleyball team did to the NCAA tournament. So if you would win on Friday and Saturday, where's your next stop?
So they, if you'll get to the Sweet 16, they invite all 16 teams, we'll say in a bubble, kind of a little bit like basketball. And the 16 teams will go to Orlando, Florida. So it's a nice trip. And then we will play the championship within the 5 days, you know, the 5-6 days. You know, and it's, if you lose, you're out. And same thing, you'll have to win four matches to win the national championships with the best 16 teams going to Orlando.
Well, Cedric, we really appreciate your time. We wish you best of luck. And as you progress through the tournament, I hope you'll come back and visit with us again.
I would love that. You guys are nice and easy, so I appreciate it.
Okay, Cedric.
Good luck.
Good luck. Thank you.
All right. See you all. Bye.
How about Coach Emery? I wanted to ask, did he ever go to France to meet the family, you know? Because when you recruit yeah, the kid, you recruit, yeah, the family. Yeah. And I just wonder if Coach Emery got over there and made a stop in the south of France for the wine country.
I'm going to guess
we not. We got some breaking news, all right? You ready for this?
I already know it, but you break it.
All right. No, you break it.
No.
You're Mike Pratt. You're the luminary.
No. Process. Break it.
All right. Orlando Antigua and Chin Coleman are officially on the UK basketball staff.
Wow, what a surprise, huh?
Hey, I was waiting for it to drop, man. I love Orlando Antigua. La Familia, baby.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all about it.
Oh, he's a special guy. He is a special guy. He really is. He can connect with anybody. Yeah. And he did when he was here. And, no, I think that's great. I don't know the other fella, but he comes with the potential to recruit, you know, in particularly in – Dan Issel's home state of Illinois.
If you could get kids
Chicago
to go to Champaign, Urbana, you can certainly get kids to come to Lexington, Kentucky.
Wow. Oh, man. No wonder.
It's fair.
Yeah, well, no wonder you wanted to go to Wisconsin. You know, I mean, Illinois is right down the road from you, and you're going up to colder weather, man.
Oh, man. Now, that's, you know, I don't know any of these people. I don't know the coaches that left. I don't know the coaches that are coming.
You've never met Orlando?
I have not.
Oh, he's a special guy.
But what I was getting ready to say, Michael, is that it certainly looks from the outside like this is an upgrade to the coaching staff.
Well, I mean, I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder, but O was very heavily involved with Kenny Payne recruiting back in the day.
See, that's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah. I think this program misses Kenny Payne more than they realize.
He was you've been to practice, I've been to practice. He was special developing these players. I mean, what he did before and after practice. And then he connected so well. Kenny was really connecting with these young
fellas. Well, it was the good cop, bad cop. You know, Cal would get on them the whole practice and demand more from them. And then Kenny would go put his arm around him and say, everything's going to be all right. Just keep your head down, keep working, and we're going to be fine.
That's kind of like Harry used to be the bad cop, and Adolf would put his arm around you. Big fella, you're okay. Big fella, you'll be fine.
Hey, I've told people that have asked me about Coach Rupp, I say, you know, there's two ways to motivate people. Either you pat them on the back or you kick them in the tail. And Coach Rupp's philosophy was you kicked everybody in the tail, and if you weren't strong enough to take it, he didn't want you on his team anyway. So
that was the truth.
I don't remember any good cop when I was in Lexington.
That, no, you were spot on about that. I mean, it was almost like they tested you. How much could you take?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I roomed his sophomore year, my junior year. I roomed with a kid that I thought had a chance to be an outstanding player. And he just Greg Sterik just could not take it, and left after his sophomore year and went back to Southern Illinois. And I think he led the nation in free throw shooting a year or two when he was at Southern Illinois. But you know, some people just don't have the mental strength, I guess is the best way to describe it, to take somebody pounding on you all the time and taking a challenge to show them that you're going to get better.
Greg Sterik was a spot-up, standstill guy.
Yep.
Oh, he could shoot it.
Yes, he could.
He would have killed it with the way offenses are being played now. You'd have run him to the corners or at the wing, and if you had a guy that could do the paint touches, he would have, with a three-point play, he would have averaged 20 points.
I think the last time I heard, Greg had your job at Southern Illinois, didn't he? Wasn't he doing the color on the radio broadcast?
He did. When I was with the original Hornets, he and his son came to town and called me, and I got him a couple tickets. And we visited a long time after the ball game. And, you know, he's a good guy. And he had a heck of a career at Southern Illinois. Yeah. I mean, he's behind guys in scoring and in other areas. He's right behind Walt Frazier's. Mm. Okay, the Walt Frazier played at Southern Illinois.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, Greg had a terrific career.
Well, going back to Antigua, I think that's a major, and it, like you said, I think you've known it for a week that he was coming back, but I think that's a major win for UK.
Yeah, and I think that, I guess it's Chin is the other fellow,
right? Yep.
from Illinois coming with O, and you know, they've been in my house. You know, they've been in my house. The portal. You know, they've been in there. So they may have some leads.
And they weren't,
no one's
and they weren't
about.
Looking for the Illini either.
So this is good news for Cat fans. Now, the young fella that we, before we get off here, that we were talking about, Arizona State, is the brother, the brother of Marcus Bagley, who played at Duke. And this young fella, 10 points, 8 rebounds a game, going into the NBA, testing the waters, but will stay in the portal.
But didn't you say he's projected to be a first-round pick?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is.
Well, I would think if he's a first-round pick, he's probably not coming to Kentucky.
Or anywhere. I think he stays in.
No, absolutely.
You know, unless he has aspirations to be a lottery pick. Now, he's a sophomore, I believe. So, I mean, if he's got those aspirations to play in the NBA, yeah. But, you know, again, it goes back to like Isaiah Jackson. Do you want to spend time, a lot of time in the G League, getting stronger physically, working on your offense? Or do you want to go to college and do the same things and have other accomplishments?
And become a lottery pick.
And
because,
there you go.
You know, usually if you're a lottery pick, you're not going to the G League.
No.
You're going to be on the big club, and you're usually on a team that isn't that good, and so you're probably going to get a chance to make a contribution. So, you know, it's much better, obviously, it's much better to be in the lottery than to be a late first round, because late first round, you're going to a really good team that's probably established their roster, and you may wind up in the G League as a first-round pick.
And that's not as much fun as playing in the bigs.
No. or no, the G League doesn't fly charter jets or stay at five-star hotels. So,
and the per diem's not the same.
No, it's a lot better being on the big club.
All right. And we're getting the choke sign from Mr. Process. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back after the top of the hour. This is Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Bet Rivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.